such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome on this really very, very sad time. Very sad time. Frightening time.
Yeah. Very much.
In history with this incident, the crisis and in Israel. We're gonna pray a decade of the Rosary and a decade of the Divine Mercy on behalf of all those who are have died, who are dying, and just the atrocities. This October 13th is coming up. I could go back to that was the miracle of the sun. You know, the messages of Our Lady in Fatima about the need to pray the Rosary and pray for conversion, for peace. Have we heeded the call? No, we really have not. And you just see what has become of the world. Anybody who doesn't acknowledge a few things, more than a few things, but the reality of evil incarnate, the demonic, as well as the apostasy going away from the faith. Just those two things alone. As I say so often, we create a vacuum, and in that vacuum comes all the demons. And, we're all created by God, for God. We're created in the image and likeness of God in beauty and goodness. And yet we've been born into this world that suffers the effect of original sin. So there is corruption. That's why we're not condemned to be here forever. We're destined for life with God if we choose to live in God. And God will give the grace. Evil is a mysterious thing. God is mysterious, isn't it? Life is mysterious. The purpose and meaning of life is that, you know, we have to come to know God, to love God, and to serve God. And if we don't, then, you know, we're swimming in a sea of egos, and we drown each other in the process. So I have to tell you, I think I mentioned it at the 10 o'clock Mass on Sunday, but it was so disturbing to me to watch the atrocities, all the stuff that was unfolding in Israel. And at the same time, you know, you've got this side by side, you know, all the news on Taylor Swift. And it just, you know, there's just the contrast. And I guess we have to each and every one of us ask ourselves, where is our focus? You know, bread and circuses, right? How many have said, you know, just of our own nation, leave America to itself, she will destroy herself from within. Now, I'm speaking of our nation. You look at Israel, the stuff going on in the Ukraine and in Nigeria, you know, in places all over the world. There's fires burning everywhere. And if we're just fixated on one's own self, egocentric, hedonism, subjectivism, relativism, the great boast today that we don't believe in God, we don't need God, we don't need the commandments of God, then there are consequences. There are consequences. I'll tell you, I did read a story this morning that was very, I'm not even going, most of you know, so I don't need to do this, but just the video of atrocities that were done to these people, it's too horrific to even speak about, but the, but there was this one, old woman. By the way, I have to say, you know, that poor old woman that was taken on a wheelchair, taken hostage. I don't know if you saw the picture.
No, I didn't.
She looked like my mother. Looked like my mother, you know. And they had her, and she just had this kind of docile look on her face as she was in the Jeep, and they were taking her away. They even had her filmed, you know, carrying a rifle with and making a peace sign. And this woman is just this is. It was just heart-wrenching to see that. What's going to become of these hostages? They're going to begin to systemically execute them and record the execution
short
on video as is reporting.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this one old couple, five Hamas terrorist went into their home, put a gun to their head, put a grenade over the head of the husband, and said he was for himself, you know, that he was going to be a martyr, the terrorist, you know, because doing all this for God, for Allah. And the woman, where she got the grace, but from Almighty God, no doubt, she tried to disarm them and asked, you know, where they were from. You know, in other words, in a very gentle way, I saw the picture of the woman, but where are you from? And tried to engage him in conversation to disarm them, and even said, you know, you look like you're thirsty. You know, I've got some pineapple juice here, you know, have something to drink. So she gave him to drink. Then eventually she prepared food for them. She said, you look a little emaciated, a little. So she prepared food for them. And while she was doing this, the counter, the police were trying to, because her sons were policemen. Two of her sons were policemen. And thank God they weren't there. And the older couple, they were coming home from the shelter. And these terrorists had broken into their homes. And so they went into the home and these terrorists were there. But it was just and then she said that she and her husband just prayed from the Old Testament Jewish prayers, and waited, you know, and this went on for a full day. I believe it was for a full day until finally, and they wouldn't allow the sons to go in and rescue them. They had a team of a police or the military, the Israeli military, trying to rescue these two people. And so the sons gave them the layout of the home and all that. And so they were able to, with the use of a drone, I believe it was, to bring out these terrorists. You know, they were all killed, and the man and woman went through unscathed. But it was just the grace that was given to her though fearful, but gently, you know, trying to
disarm
the situation. But that was an unusual situation, though. But it's really heartbreaking, and it's happening even as we're speaking right now. And even a Palestinian woman, I saw her, who's not part of the terrorist group, but she's crying out, you know, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. But it's the ramifications, you know, what are the powers and principalities behind this, you know, and so this could escalate into something that is beyond anything that we that we would be able to speculate, right? Don't you think? Mm-hmm. It's a very, very volatile, very frightening situation. And even last night at Mass, I just said, you know, I'm not going to have a homily. We're just going to keep silence. And it was a feast of Saint Denis, a martyr. We're just gonna withhold the homily. Let's just, you know, focus on those who are suffering at this time and pray, you know, that there be an end of this atrocity. But I don't see it's well, like I've heard many people say, it's only gonna be by God's grace that they're gonna be able to resolve this very complex. I say complex situation because the tensions have been there forever, but it's not complex, not at all complex to speak to the evil that has been unleashed, the purely diabolical incarnation of evil, the diabolic. It's beyond human comprehension. And we really have to get our heads out of the sand and, you know, reincorporate into our lives a proper asceticism, which means a detachment from some of the superficial and shallow stuff of life. I think, you know, how we struggle to keep our school open. You know, we want to get kids out of the public school into the Catholic school. We need scholarship money. And how hard it is to get that money, and yet, you know, we pay millions of dollars to the stars of Hollywood or the, you know, people who entertain us, whether it be at the arena of sports or just pure entertainment, you know, the singers, whatever it might be. You know, we pour millions of dollars. We'll spend what in order to be entertained, and yet. And then you think, of course, of the I could go on and on, but you get the point that I'm making. It's such a, there's the injustice is appalling. The loss of virtue, the loss of principles. And I'm just bringing it back to our country, but it's what's characteristic of much of the world, much of the West, no doubt. And it just you take our own nation, you know, the whole world is watching the deterioration, the rapid deterioration of our nation. Even Frank was in, went to pick up something at a store yesterday, and two people came in and broke in, or, you know, just broke through the glass and stole whatever they wanted, and nobody did anything. Nobody can do anything. It's very sad. As I say, you know, it seems like the apocalyptic apostasy spoken about in the book of Revelation. Jesus spoke about this, that there would come a time when people would go. The Lord said, when he comes, whether will he even find faith in the world, our hearts that have gone so cold, you know, and yet he will ensure for himself that there will be an Anawim, there will be a remnant who will keep the faith and suffer the faith in the name of those who are, and this is our participating in the redemptive work of our Lord, right? Because we bear the cross in the name of those who are indifferent, ignorant, because they, through no fault of their own perhaps, or those who are just overtly hostile to God and the things of God. I mentioned this to somebody yesterday about the ignorant, and he says, "Well, is there anybody who can really claim ignorance? Because the law of God is written into our hearts, and so deep down we know the truth, but we are affected by the environment in which we live, and that's why I've said many times here over the radio, and I've said it many times to our people at Mass. You know, nobody. So when we speak to truth, yes, we're a hypersensitive society." And people, you know, are easily offended. But, so I always preface, you know, speaking truth by saying, you know, nobody has gone through this unscathed. You know, all the radical changes that have taken place over the past decades, really relating back to the gospel on Sunday, you know, uprooting the hedges and tearing down the tower, and things are left to be pillaged and trampled underfoot, that nobody has gone through this unscathed. But there has to be a humility on the part of all of us to say, on our knees, Lord, we've gone astray. Even if I haven't gone astray, well, we all go astray. We're all sinners, right? We deviate from the narrow path. We have to get back on that path in the discipline. We have to understand what are our responsibilities to God, to our neighbor, and to ourselves. You know, the two great commandments, which are a summation of the Ten Commandments. But we've got to humbly, collectively speaking, get on our knees and say, Lord, we have gone astray. We beg forgiveness, and we beg for your mercy, and lift us up and restore to us dignity, nobility, grace, intelligence, knowledge, wisdom. But we're just lost, enslaved in hedonism, subjectivism, relativism, individualism. You know, it's about me. I'm the center. You know, give me pleasure. Whatever I feel, I do. You believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe. What is truth? You know, the words of Pilate, right, before the Lord. No, it's really an atrocity today, what's happening in the world. And and we'll take a break, and then we'll pray when we come back. Eliu, is that your wife over there? Oh, yes. Welcome. What's her name? Welcome. It's good. Nice. Well, we'll meet afterwards. Great. What was I going to say now? Anyway.
We'll take a break.
We'll come back, and we will pray a chaplet of the Divine Mercy, a decade of the Rosary, that the Lord, you know, reach down and do something, please, you know. But we have to be docile and receptive and open to the working of God. He's not a magician who can just wave a wand. He needs our response. So let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll pray. Don't go away. I am Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. Here is an update on the Fulton Sheen petition.
We Catholics stand just inches from the goal line to have the saint we desperately need now, Venerable Fulton Sheen, publicly declared blessed. Yet new obstacles keep arising to delay this from happening. The Diocese of Peoria is now requiring the unanimous support of the U.S. bishops behind the beatification of Fulton Sheen before a new date is set for the ceremonial Mass. This has never been necessary in the Church's history. The Fulton Sheen Movement's petition drive to set a new date soon for Sheen's Beatification Mass now has 10,000 Catholics from around the world clamoring for this. We need this voice magnified by hundreds of thousands more Catholics. And you can help us do that. Take action. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com and sign the petition and share it everywhere, because everyone agrees we need Blessed Fulton Sheen now more than ever.
Bye now, and God love you.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony with Tony, Christina, Eliu, the wizard behind the curtain, and his wife, beautiful wife, whose name I don't know. Can you message me the name?
Yeah, so you know.
Christina, you should have asked her.
I'm
her name.
Terrible.
Right. We were just running it. Oh, I was running it.
Anyway, that's okay, Eliu. I'll go ahead and pray now. In the meantime, you try to get me the name of your wife, okay? Oh, let's see what.
Lise.
Okay. You both have three letters in, you know, Eliu. Is that three letters? Eliu. And that's three, four letters.
Four letters.
And three, yeah. three letters. Okay. like Roy. Roy has three that's letters, true. You know?
Thank you. I was thinking more like, what did Biden say? A three-letter word, jobs, J-O-B-S.
Okay, anyway. Yes, the whole world is watching, huh?
Yeah.
Let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And we offer this decade of the Rosary, asking Our Lady to intercede on behalf of all those who have died and are dying, those who are suffering, you know, not only in Israel, but throughout the world right now. The world is in such turmoil, and you know, she warned us and told us what to do, you know, what to do. And we beg mercy for not having heeded the call, but we do ask God's intervention. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are in most need of thy mercy. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and the blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Eternal God, whose mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And for those who have died, may they rest in peace. May the souls of the, What do we pray? Anyway, you know what? Lord grant them peace, eternal rest and peace. May the souls of the faithful departed, to the mercy of God, rest in peace. And we do want to pray for the synod, very much in need of our prayers, I think, as well. Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, you are the head of the church, your spotless bride and mystical body. Look mercifully upon the profound distress to which our Holy Mother Church has been subjected, doctrinal confusion, moral abominations, liturgical abuses have in our day reached an unprecedented height. The heathens have come into your inheritance, having defiled your holy temple and laid Jerusalem in ruins. Churchmen who have lost the true faith and become promoters of a worldly globalist agenda are intent on changing your truths and commandments, the divine constitution of the church, and the apostolic tradition. O Lord, with humble spirit and contrite heart, we beseech you, prevent the enemies of the church from exulting in a victory over the authentic Catholic Church obtained by imposing a counterfeit church under the guise of synodality. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come to the aid of your church with your almighty strength, for where sin and apostasy in the church abounds, the victory of your grace will abound the more. We firmly believe that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. In this hour in which our beloved and Holy Mother Church is suffering her Golgotha, we promise to remain with her. Graciously accept our interior and exterior sufferings, which we humbly offer, in union with the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother of the Church, as a reparation for our own sins, for the sins of sacrilege and apostasy within the Church. O Lord, send forth your holy angels under the command of St. Michael the Archangel to bring your heavenly light to the Pope and Synod participants and to frustrate the plans of your enemies within the Synod. O Lord, look mercifully upon the little ones in the church. Look upon the hidden souls who sacrifice themselves for the church. Look upon all the tears and sighs and supplications of the true children of the church, and through the merits of the Immaculate Heart of your most holy mother, arise, O Lord, and by your intervention, grant your church holy shepherds who, imitating your example, will give their lives for you and your sheep. O Lord, we beseech you, through the Blessed Virgin Mary, grant us a holy Pope zealous in promoting and defending the Catholic faith. We implore you, grant it. Through the Blessed Virgin Mary, grant us holy and intrepid bishops. We implore you, grant it. To the Blessed Virgin Mary, grant us, holy priests, who are men of God, we implore you, grant it. In you, O Lord, we rest our hope. Let us never be put to shame. To you, O Lord Jesus Christ, be given all honor and glory in your holy church. You live and reign with the Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, pray for us. St. Joseph,
pray for us.
All you saints and angels in heaven,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So take a break, and then we'll come back, okay? Don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stan's Lakoska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Laugh, you make me laugh, you make me laugh. You make me laugh, 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 laugh. You make me laugh.
Well, that's the whole point.
You've got to be joking.
No, it's about laughing and joking and having a great time. Join us for a night of laughter at St. Stan's Back to School Comedy Show, Saturday, October 7th. Door opens at 6 p.m., showtime 7 p.m. Admission is just $30 per person with a cash bar, music, and you must be 21 or over.
Are you serious?
Well, of course. The St. Stan's Back to School Comedy Show features the comedy of Jody Baez, Jeannie Dogan, and Alicia Molina. St. Stan's is located at 1255 North Noble. That's 2 blocks north of Division. On Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. A St. Stan's Back to School Comedy Show, Saturday, October 7th.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Liesmeyer. Liesmeyer. So you both have two names I've never heard before. You know, Eliu. I was thinking it was Eliud. But Eliu and Liesmeyer, have you heard that name before?
No. Liesmeyer. No, it's a beautiful name.
It is a beautiful name. Mar is C. Lies.
It's like Elizabeth. Like Elizabeth?
Elizabeth. Elizabeth. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, beautiful. Very good. Well, welcome. Anyway, we're happy to have you here. So I want to go back, you know, to this this past Sunday because – actually, let's go back to the past few Sundays because last week we heard – not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, the parable of the two brothers who are told to go out and work the vineyard, right? One said he would go, but he didn't go. The other said he would not go, but later changed his mind and went. The second son did the father's will. The first did not. And the question for us is, are we in the work? Are we doing the father's will? 2 weeks ago, Jesus assured us it doesn't matter what hour of the day or what stage of our life's journey. He wishes to bestow generously his life into ours, that we in turn plant and cultivate the seed of his life in others. So again, you know, the old saying, today is the first day of the rest of your life. One can get into the work today, you know. And what does that mean? You know, give your life to Christ. Surrender your life to the Lord. Today there's an urgency to the call. The day is far spent, the night draws near. We must waste no time getting into the work of life, which is a work of the church, and bear good fruit in deference to Christ. So in the first reading from this past Sunday, the prophet Isaiah, we have that yet another parable warning us that if we do not get to work, the Lord will allow, and I'm quoting, allow things to come to ruin, overgrown with thorns and briars. And in both the first reading from the prophet Isaiah and in the gospel, the laborers, think about this, the laborers, the workers, show themselves to be lazy, irresponsible, and full of greed. When Jesus is sent to reap the harvest, he is rejected, beaten, and killed by his own tenants, by his own tenants. Keep that in mind. At the hands of his tenants, his faithful servants suffered a similar fate before him, and as it was, so it is even in our own day and our own time. And we'd be disingenuous not to admit this. As Catholics, we have a responsibility to labor, that means to work, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and thereby confound the wise of this world. Unfortunately, our nation, founded on Judeo-Christian principles and values, has quite successfully removed the hedge from around the vineyard by removing the commandments and prayer from the institutions that form the lives of our children. For decades, the nation has dismantled the watchtower and given little attention, or worse yet, is complicit to forces embarking upon us to pillage, to rape, and destroy the sacred soul of our nation in favor of irresponsible ideologies, bad behavior, laziness, and greed, which often morph into violence in a wide variety of ways. And this comes from without, but worse yet, it happens from within, if we're not doing our part. And again, I just remind you, I went to public school. In those days, we prayed. We began the prayer in the morning. We prayed before we went to lunch. We prayed at the end of the day. We had the Ten Commandments written on our wall, on the bulletin board or whatever. The Ten Commandments were on the in all the classrooms.
And we had a woman, Bible study too.
We had a Bible study. A woman who would come in once a week and teach a Bible. It wasn't from a Catholic. Same stories, mm-hmm. So the fact that she wasn't Catholic, I always remember, because I thought the pictures were very, you didn't have internet or anything, but they had these beautiful pictures, and those stories were intriguing to all of us, And then, of course, the country outlawed it by the time I was in junior high school, I think. No more prayer. I don't even know if they pray. They pledge allegiance to the flag anymore. I don't know. Or to some flag, I'm sure they do. No, but the church has been commissioned by the Lord to stand against the spirit of the world. A purely humanistic, materialistic worldview relegates God to the dustbin of history. Though we may give God lip service, we relegate him to the dustbin of history in a purely humanistic and materialistic world. The crisis enveloping the nation is indeed a crisis enveloping the whole world as well. And by the way, like the Vendeans during the French Revolution and the Cristeros during the Mexican Revolution, we must resist the powers and principalities that view our faith as, and I quote, the opium of the people, a term made famous by Karl Marx, whose writings led to systemic atheism, in a word, communism. Against this ideology, I say sometimes ideology, but against this ideology, communism, systemic atheism, our shield is our faith and our weapon is the Spirit of Christ. And it doesn't mean we're going to move forward unscathed, a point the Lord makes very clear in the gospel. The innocent, the faithful, will suffer. And this is a reality. We have to accept this is a reality. This is part, that's what I said. We don't go through life unscathed. We're the victim. It's in the nature of the world to wound us. If we're not cleaving to Christ, if we're not following his precepts, values, he's laid out the blueprint. If we don't follow the commandments of God, then we're victims and or perpetrators of the disorder and the violence, the godlessness. The call of our age, right now, is to awaken from slumber, to be astute and be astute to falsehood, gaslighting, manipulation, and distraction from, as we heard Paul say in his second, in I think it was his letter to the Corinthians on Sunday, we have to awaken from slumber, be astute to falsehood, gaslighting, manipulation, distraction from whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious. This idea of, you know, the false, many people are saying that. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? Well, we got to lean into Christ. We cannot be naive to the reality that there are tenants who should bear fruit under the power of God's grace, but have rather squandered their responsibilities and seek to disturb the tranquility and peace we enjoy in adhering to God, who is the same, my friends, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God never changes. The polarization and unrest so prevalent in the world are stoked by those who in another age we trusted to fulfill the Lord's command to preach repentance from sin and make disciples of all nations. For decades already, the missionary mandate has not only stagnated, but is seemingly suppressed. By the way, when I say that, you know, I want to go back to that Amazon Synod. Did I talk about this just the other day, I think. The big white elephant in the room that wasn't addressed was that, and you had a bishop who boasted of the fact that he hadn't baptized anybody in 30 years. The fact is, in the Amazon Synod in 1990, it was 90% Catholic. Today, I think it's 30% or less. Many, those who have remained in faith, have gone over to the Pentecostal evangelical churches. But see, we're not supposed to, it's all about social justice, not about preaching Christ, crucified, died, and risen, make disciples of the nations. And so, you know, no, we're not gonna enforce Christ on anybody. We don't force Christ on anybody, but even I mean, the gospel mandate is call people to repent of their sins, to convert, to metanoia, baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Make disciples of all nations. Disciples of whom? Disciples of Jesus Christ. This is God who came to us in the flesh, who redeemed us, atoned for our sins. He, the supreme high priest, offered himself the living sacrifice. He who didn't sin became sin. He took our sins to himself. This religious syncretism that is so popular today, which is in keeping with the one world religion, colluding with one world, it's all part of the one world order, where Jesus is just one among many. No. And what's so totally unique and distinct about Catholicism, Judeo-Christianity, but specifically Catholicism coming, because we always tell the people, we begin with Jesus, we read backward into the Hebrew scripture in order to understand who he is. And then, of course, we've got the Gospels and the epistles. But this is God who came to us in the flesh. What makes us distinct, unique from any religion is that the story was foretold. God walking in communion with his people, purging them, transforming them, sanctifying them. Yes, he is full of mercy. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. But there comes a point when, in order to bring people to their senses, back into the covenant, into the alliance, pull them away from their idolatry and their abominations. I mean, you know, think about it. You know, when the temple was destroyed, there is nothing new under the sun. Abominations galore in the temple. People were guilty of all kinds of idolatry. And God, in his mercy, chastises the people in order to awaken them to who he is and who they are and who they are in relation to him and what his expectations are. Because from this people, the Messiah would come. But it's always a remnant. It's always a remnant. The Anawim is defined as a remnant, a small flock who humbly yet powerfully live the faith in word and deed. So when the masses go astray in this time of great apostasy, and again, I keep saying that, I know, who can deny it? Who can deny it? This is what I'd love to hear from our prelates. I'd love to, and there are those who do speak, but they're marginalized. Mm-hmm. They're pushed to the fringe. They're given no voice because they're fanatical, radical, fanatical, because they still believe in the supernatural, in the church's mysticism. Crazy, but anyway, the Anawim, when the masses go astray and pillage what had been cultivated, God sends those whose humility and fidelity to truth bring down the culprits who work to usurp the messianic age in which we live for a new age of utopian deception whose end game always, as history has shown us, results in the extermination of those who get in their way. We think we're so smart and so progressive, you know?
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll take a break and come back and continue with this and maybe move on to something else. We'll see what kind of time we have. Don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Koska Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And yeah, really, on this very sad time in our history, all the way around, you know, at so many levels of life. I think of what's happening to our children, the kind of enslavement, the kind of indoctrination, the inculcation of just bizarre, non-commonsensical, non-reasoning ideologies. You know, you can be what you want. The whole thing is just so crazy. The pornography that's being put into the schools that parents can't even read at a school board meeting because it's pornographic, and yet they it's in the books that these kids are studying, the how-tos of this and that and whatever. I can't even speak about this stuff. It's so gross. These little children. Unbelievable. And you know, as a priest, I listen to parents all the time. You know, I often said, you know, do we need a synod on synodality? We need the priest to be priest. We need the priest to open up the confessional. Open up the churches. Go back to what is central to our faith, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And how do we participate? What is active participation? Not that everybody's doing everything and the Mass becomes a pachanga, a feast, you know, a celebration of the people. We're so egocentric today, so navel-gazing. Get over ourselves. You know, the Messianic hour is perpetuated in the Messianic age on the altar of sacrifice. And we have to enter into that sacrifice. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. I offer you my life, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you, my God, God, my spiritual worship. That's active participation. Nobody speaks about that. But for the most part, you know, and that's why we're, the polarization. You know, I was telling somebody yesterday, you know, so I get reprimanded because I'm just raising questions, but I'm obedient, and I'm going to celebrate Mass facing the people, even though for up until 50, 60 years ago, the Mass was offered, you know, the priest leading the people into the sacrifice, pointing to God, looking to God. Okay, so that's bothersome today for some people. But yet, kitty corner from here, two men on Father's Day, married, give a homily at the Mass, and the whole congregation stands up and applauds. And then we're here trying to hold the faith, teach the faith, challenge one another to loving sacrifice, to think of the broader ramifications and consequences of the free reign of the flesh, and we get punished. That creates the division, the polarization. It's just crazy. So what do we do? What do we do? For our part, we do well to ask ourselves, and I mean really seriously, ask yourselves, people, how often do you think of God in the course of a day? Should be morning, noon, and night. And we come from God, we go to God, we choose to live in God. Nations come, nations go. Empires come, empires go. The kingdom endures unto eternity. The kingdom is in our midst, not fully realized, won't be fully realized until the end of time. Until what? Until all the nations are annihilated. As Our Lady said, could happen if we do not return to God, pray for conversion, pray for peace. At the time, seems a little bit crazy, right? How could that happen? Today, as I said Sunday, you know, God says, listen, I can do no more. You know, I leave you to your own design. We have the power. We have the power to annihilate every nation, to destroy this entire planet.
And even the apparitions of Our Lady, it's not even about Our Lady. What does she say? Return to my son. That's the message.
Go back to Quito, Akita, La Salette, Fatima, Rwanda. You know, everywhere that she's appeared, it's basically the same message.
So few understand this.
And to the
and
children.
Those are the ones that hurt, you know? Those are the ones that, like a father, you see, and what can you do? That's the way I feel.
You just open your eyes, and I tell the people, open your eyes and look around. Look around. Look what's happened to our city, the city of Chicago. Oh. I mean, really, when you think about it, what the radical changes from the time before the pandemic, when, you know, you could walk anywhere in safety, seemingly. It's a big city. You always have to be astute. You have to be attentive, you know, because, anyway.
I wonder if this is what people really wanted. You know, think about this. For the people that vote, for the people that, you know, I hate to go down this road, but I've been thinking about it for the last few days. Our votes count. Our votes matter. Although some will tell you, no, they don't. And maybe in a way, I'm beginning to see, maybe they really don't. But this is where I'm at right now. I just,
you know, that, like I said, who do you trust?
Who do you trust?
Today, who do you trust?
Yeah. You know? If you don't trust God, then, you know, it's like
falsehood, manipulation, gaslighting, you know, and you can kind of see, okay, but this is what I see. This is what I experience. But no, you're not. So anyway, let's just leave that alone.
And yeah.
What do we do? We gotta, you know, again, I ask the question: how often do you think of God? Because you know, the day of your death is approaching. Every day that we live is a day closer to our death, our passing from this life to the next. We're going to encounter God, our Creator, God, our Redeemer, God who wants to sanctify us. And Jesus said, and this was, I sit there when I read the scripture, I said, do the people not hear what's being written, what's been read, what Jesus said? You don't want to be at the end of your life and knocking on the door, and the Lord says, who are you?
Exactly.
I don't know who you are because you chose. You chose not to know me. I was always faithful. I mean, what more can I do to prove my love for you, but then I lay down my life for you? And yet you, and the grace, God gives sufficient grace for everyone. Do we have the humility to open ourselves to that grace, or do we boast of the fact that we don't need God and we don't need the commandments? So, you know, do we pray? You know, those little prayers from the heart. Jesus, mercy, I trust in you. Here I am. I come to do your will. Speak, Lord. Your servant listens. Come, Holy Spirit. You know, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. Do we identify ourselves as disciples, servants, working the vineyard of the Lord? It doesn't matter what state of life. All the baptized share in the kingly, priestly, and prophetic mission of Christ. What can we do? Where do we begin? We simply turn our gaze to the Lord and never take our eyes away from him. Never take your eyes away from Christ. And yes, as we work and suffer, he'll give us a little bit of a respite. Simple joys of life, we learn to enjoy the simple things of life, but we know we're in the trenches, we fight the good fight. You know, let me just end by saying, you know, Jesus doesn't mince words, even though somebody told me, this does not reflect the mind of the church. Well, I beg to differ. Jesus doesn't mince words when he says we will be hated on account of him, his name. And if we belong to him, the world will not accept us as its own. But nonetheless, he calls us into the mission to bear witness to his kingdom, even as others reject it mm-hmm. and reject us for cleaving to him and his full counsel. Not pick and choose what's comfortable, but a full counsel of God with the Lord as a cornerstone. And that's what we heard last Sunday. Jesus said, with the Lord as a cornerstone, there's nothing more wonderful than to be living members of the life-giving kingdom, the only kingdom that will endure and bear fruit unto eternity. We are most grateful that the Lord's greatest attribute is mercy. Do we have the humility to admit to our sinfulness and rejoice in God's goodness to make up for what is lacking in us, even as we daily strive, hopefully that we're striving each day for greater holiness of life? Let's pray for those who are suffering right now, okay? Almighty God, bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace with you. Peace be with you. Ciao. Ciao, ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is wrong.